This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. If you're a regular listener to this program, you'll know that we frequently speak with reporters who, you may guess, can be difficult to get on the phone. Not because they're out covering a story or crashing on deadline, though that's sometimes the case, but more often because they're freelancers, which means they have no title on the masthead, no four-digit extension in the company's voicemail directory, and no cubicle in the office. And more importantly for them, no regular paycheck, no pension, and certainly no benefits. According to Working Today, the Freelancers Union, there are an estimated 50 million such independent, self-employed, temporary, or part-time workers across the country. Make that 50 million less one. After longtime freelancer Ben Yagoda publicly removed his shingle on the pages of Slate.com. He joins me now from a position of relative security as director of the journalism program at the University of Delaware. Ben, welcome to On the Media.
Thanks, Bob. It's nice to be here.
Okay, after 30 years as a freelancer, you said it was glorious, but now it's over. I'm done. I'm just curious, was there a last straw for you after 3 decades of hustling?
Well, there really was. I sent out an idea, a proposal, to a publication that will remain nameless. I had not written for this publication, but I sent it through my literary agent, and I didn't hear anything back within a couple of weeks. My agent emailed the editor for a response. No response. Tried it again. No response. Still no response. And I thought, that's it. That is the last straw.
If you have a staff job at a newspaper or a magazine, you know, you go to work, either write a story or you don't, and at the end of 2 weeks or a month or whatever, your paycheck comes in. Anyway, freelancer constantly has to not only produce pieces, but to sell them in advance.
Freelancers commonly are paid what's called on publication. You have to propose the idea, do the reporting, do the writing. Finally, you hope, get it accepted, and then wait a couple of weeks, a month, a couple of months for it to be published. Then it goes to accounting to issue the check, and many things have happened in accounting before you actually get that check.
Ben, 23 or 24 years ago, you were a senior editor at Philadelphia Magazine, and I did a freelance piece for you, which I was paid the sum of $500. I think it was maybe a 1,500-word piece. Judging from the piece you did in Slate, it seems to me that had I submitted the same piece today, I wouldn't have gotten paid a whole lot more.
Yeah, the first piece I had published in a national magazine as a freelancer in 1978 was a My Turn column in Newsweek, $500. The piece I just published in Slate that we're talking about now, $500. Your article in Philadelphia Magazine 23 years ago, $500. There's something magical or mystical about that figure. I can't tell you exactly what it is.
I know one thing, though, that's changed is car payments have changed in that period of time and mortgage payments. So how is anyone supposed to make it if the economics are so much a relic of 30 years ago?
To become a freelancer, you feel that you have to create a brand and have one idea and parlay it into 8 different publications. They're constantly on the phone, on email, setting those things up, do consulting, do websites, do public relations. The idea of doing something of, you know, literary or journalistic merit or quality, that would have to get lost in the shuffle in that kind of a life.
Well, let's talk about those things you're mentioning. Those were strategies, as I understand it, suggested by a publication aimed directly at freelancers. Tell me about that.
A good organization called the American Society of Journalists and Authors, ASJA, put out a guide to freelance writing. And one of the chapters was called Writer-Editor Relations, in the sense that a master and a slave have relations, maybe it's relations. And one line in that that almost made me cry, giving writers pointers on how to deal with their editors. Many writers send holiday greeting cards or let their editors know they are mailing charitable contributions instead of sending cards. A few send gifts to their favorite editors. It's important, however, not to be too pushy. You have to have a certain kind of a personality that I may once have had way in the distant past, but I certainly don't have it anymore.
Young man's game?
I would say so. A young man, young person, or an oldster like myself was still the young person's fire in the belly. Mine has gotten somewhat extinguished.
But of course, in order to publicly surrender, you have to have this one last swan song. How was the process of selling the piece about your last piece as a freelancer?
You know, truth to tell, Bob, I had the idea well over a year ago. I sold it to another magazine after a lot of back and forthing and changes and questions and all that. This other nameless publication held it for a year. And they finally said, well, it looks like we're not going to publish, which was a blow to the ego. But as you can probably appreciate, being able to sell it twice, that's like a freelancer's daily double.
This really isn't necessarily your last freelance piece, is it?
This sort of giving it up for everything is, I don't know, poetic license.
All right. Well, journalist and maybe former freelancer Ben Yagoda is director of the journalism program at the University of Delaware and author most recently of The Sound on the Page, Style and Voice in Writing.
Thanks so much, Bob.